First is in the college. First course which we are going to start is the overview of Bhagavad Gita. So there are two verses written by Swarupa Bhattachari, the great devotee of Sri Chaitanya, which are considered to be the crest jewel of all the verses of the Vedic literatures. One of the two verses is Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartameka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Mudriyastamaham Prapadye. So in this verse, Swarupa Bhattachari says, Shikshartameka Purusha Purana. The purpose of Shri Chaitanya's appearance is to give education. So this education is the main business of the movement of Krishna consciousness movement. So keeping this in the view, that education is the prime purpose, we have opened this college. Actually, temple itself is a college, but within the temple we want to designate a place or a department where we are exclusively concentrating on teaching people about Krishna consciousness. When we think about this teaching, that means you always think that we are all going to there as students. Though this is given as a student handbook, though you are all sitting here as students, but I see you all not as students but as teachers. The process of Krishna consciousness is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. But without understanding the real meaning of hearing and without understanding the real meaning of chanting, we cannot really hear and chant. So what is the real meaning of hearing? Hearing means to understand. You can only understand when you think that you have to learn something. If you don't think that I have to learn, hear nice music. If you are hearing nice music, does that mean you are learning nice music? No. You will enjoy. But our life is not for our enjoyment. Our life is for Krishna's enjoyment. So hearing music and learning music, there is a lot of difference. In the same way, hearing philosophy means learning philosophy or learning Krishna consciousness, science of Krishna consciousness. So hearing means learning. Learning means siksha or understanding. So you have to think yourself as a student. And then there is another process of, that is chanting. So what is the meaning of chanting? Chanting means teaching. We say everybody should chant Hare Krishna. What does that mean? It means that you should teach people how to chant Hare Krishna. Everybody should listen or hear the holy names of the Lord. What does that hearing mean? Hearing means to learn. So without understanding that the real meaning of hearing and chanting, if you just say hearing and chanting and then be done with that, then our hearing and chanting of the holy names of the Lord will not be very deep. It will be just very superficial. So if your hearing and chanting is superficial, then what happens? We become a superficial devotee. So if you really want to be a devotee, our hearing and chanting should be very deep. So our depth of hearing and chanting comes when we understand that hearing and chanting is not different, rather the real hearing and real chanting is nothing but learning and teaching. So when you learn, you are hearing. When you teach, you are chanting. So this Bhaktivedanta College is taking you to the depth of hearing and chanting, depth of the devotional service, the process of devotional service. So that is the whole purpose of this college. Now, as I have told you before, that this college is not seeing you as a student. This college is seeing you as a teacher who is going to teach the future courses. So this Bhaktivedanta College courses are structured like this. The first course is the Bhagavad Gita course that you all attended. That is 7 days, different topics. The first day we have done introduction to Bhagavad Gita, what it is, qualifications of Guru, science of soul, etc. It is just a kind of making you introduce that how great is the scripture called Bhagavad Gita. And now the next course following that is this Bhagavad Gita overview. So this Bhagavad Gita overview means seeing above, seeing from top. having an overview of the whole thing. Like, I gave the example of if you are in the temple in Mira Road, if you just look around, you will find one building there, one building here, one building there. So you just cannot see what is beyond this area of maybe a few hundred meters. But if you go rise above into the sky, if you go higher and higher, then you can see a wider range. Oh, this is all Shantinagar, this is all the Shanti Park, and all these things you can see. So the same way, overview means you are going high above and then seeing, oh, all the 700 verses spread through the 18 chapters. So these 18 chapters, this is there, oh, this subject is spoken here, that is spoken here. So you have an overview of the things. So this overview of Bhagavad Gita is nothing but a preparatory course for the Bhakti Shastri. So Srila Prabhupada wanted a systematic study of Bhagavad Gita. You will be surprised, you will be shocked to know the very first words of Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. In that verse, the very first line, you know what is Prabhupada, right? One should study this Bhagavad Gita scrutinizingly under the guidance of a spiritual master. The guidance of a devotee of Krishna. So the very first line of Bhagavad Gita starts with this. One has to understand Bhagavad Gita very scrutinizingly. He has taken this word scrutinizingly from this Shat Goswami Ashtakam. The Shat Goswami Ashtakam, one of the verses says, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno. These Goswamis, they are very expert in scrutinizingly studying the Vedic scriptures. Nana Shastra Vichara. That Vichara means scrutinizing. Studying scrutinizingly means Vichara. So you may say, oh, this is all in Bhagavad Gita, but we just want to have Rasagyana. We just want to enjoy listening. Some people have this attitude. It is good that if you are enjoying listening, if you are enjoying listening, so it's very wonderful. But your listening should not be limited to one's enjoyment. Like somebody was telling that, first, we just had to drink the rasa, which is there in Bhagavatam. But what does Bhagavatam say? The Bhagavatam says, Vicharana karo bhaktya vimuchye naraha. So even the Bhagavata vichara is also there. Even in the Bhagavatam, this word vichara comes. Vichara means you should do it scrutinizingly. Some people have this attitude, or even in Jew when I was teaching, there's one devotee who came to me. And then told, you are teaching Bhakti Shastri, I heard it is very nice, you are analytically analyzing each word and nicely presenting. But the point is, you know, this is all jnana. This is all jnana, knowledge. But we want rasa. Then I told, I am not teaching jnana, I am teaching rasa jnana. So, there is no difference. So this is how you should study. The Bhagavatam also says, Vicharana paro vikta vimuchye naraha. One has to have Bhagavatam vichara. So how are we going to do this course? So everybody will be getting two books. One is called the student handbook. Another one is called the student workbook. So handbook means that book is like a textbook for you. The real textbook is Bhagavad Gita. So when you come to the class every time, you should bring one textbook, that is the Bhagavad Gita, and the synthesis of the textbook is a student workbook or handbook, and there will be one book called the workbook that will be given to you, in which there will be questions. By 1 week you are going to answer those questions and come back, and then you will be writing, will be analyzing. So this course is exactly for 24 sessions, not a session less, not a session more, including 3 sessions of examination. So, you will be memorizing 27 verses which we are going to recite every time. Every time when we meet at 11:45, we are going to recite all the 27 verses which are there in this student handbook. And before reciting these 27 verses, we are going to chant the Mangalacharan. So, this Mangalacharan is not the short Mangalacharan which you are going to chant. We are going to chant the whole long Mangalacharan, which comprises of the standard prayers which are mentioned in the song book. So, if you get the song book or if you have this book, then you will have these prayers also within this. So today also we are going to start our chanting with these prayers and these verses. So those of you who have the books can open and we'll start with the standard prayers. Om Ajnat Virandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudhavadagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Mao Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhiramine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Asyata Desha Tarini Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Dinamine Srimarshavanavi Devi Naitaya Kripathe Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhurya Ujjala Premathya Shri Rupamga Bhaktida Shri Gauradurna Shakti Vigrahaya Namastute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dina Dharani Rupamga Virudhava Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralamara Sambode Padam Bhujayate Namana Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Chidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Vidhava Bhumestam Nirdeshta Sanchana Priya Naishana Sarubhaumati Jagatna Bhayate Namaha Vancha Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sindhu Pyayevacha Patita Kampavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Krishna Prema Prajayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Nāme Gaurat Vishay Namaha Panchatattvātmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupasvarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Varuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Rāpa Kanta Namostute Naitam Suratur Kangur Amamanta Madergati Matsarvasva Padapojo Radha Madanamo Mano Divya Vrindavan Yakalpat Madana Sriman Ratnagar Simhasanasto Sriman Radha Sri Lakovinda Devo Prashtralivi Sevya Manam Smarami Sriman Rasa Sarangi Vamshi Vatada Kastataha Karsham Vedaswane Gopinatha Shri Estunaha Natta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutele Pranamami Harike Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we'll recite the verses. Those who have the books, please open the books and let's see. Tudra Shuvacha, Dharma Kshetre, Guru Kshetre, Samaveda Yurisava, Mahapa Pandavascheva, Himakurvada Sandhaya, Arpanya Dosho, Kodasva Bhava, Ruchami Nam Dharma Samhuda Cheta Yashreya Sya Nishchitam Ruhitanme Shishya
consisting of 18 chapters and 700 verses.
And these 18 chapters are ranging from the 25th chapter till the 42nd chapter of the Bhishma Parva within the Mahabharata. So you all know this Mahabharata has got 1 lakh verses. But among the whole 1 lakh verses, the most important are these 18 chapters, or these 700 verses. Like Sripad Shankaracharya in the Gita Dhyanam, he says that Bharatamrita Sarvasvam Vishwavyapi Vinishchitam. Says in the whole of Bharata, the real purpose of Mahabharata is to give you Bhagavad Gita. Bharata Taila Purnava Taila Purnaha Prajwalito Jnanamaya Pradipaha. So this, if you consider the whole Mahabharata to be a lamp or a diya, in that there is oil, there is some mud thing, and that flame is this Mahabharata. All other things are nothing but to support this this flame. So this flame is that Bhagavad Gita. What is the purpose of a lamp without a flame? So, what is the use of Mahabharata without Bhagavad Gita? In other words, the whole purpose of Mahabharata is there in this Bhagavad Gita. So one has to study this very scrutinizingly. So now if you see, Prabhupada writes a huge introduction to it. This introduction to Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada is a spontaneous writing. He just was sitting in Sydney and one day he just wrote an article. That was not a dictaphone stuff. He just wrote it. And he wrote it, then he thought this is a wonderful introduction to this Bhagavad Gita. Once the printing of the books in Delhi or in Hindi language, in Hindi Bhagavad Gita, was delayed. Then Srila Prabhupada told, if you cannot translate the whole book and print the whole book, just translate the introduction and then print it. So the introduction to Bhagavad Gita is surcharged with the whole content of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever is there in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has presented very systematically in the introduction itself. Because without studying the introduction, we just cannot approach any book that wants to speak of this Bhagavad Gita. So today we'll just have an introduction to the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, overview of the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada starts the introduction of Bhagavad Gita with saying that this Bhagavad Gita is also called Gita Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita is also called Gita Upanishad. Now, but the simple line, one line, what does Prabhupada say? That this book, though it is a part of Purana, though it is a part of Mahabharata, it is no less than Upanishad. Actually, it is the essence of all Upanishads. There are some people who consider, oh, okay, you are less intelligent, so you study Mahabharata, Ramayana, Puranas. I am very intelligent, so I will study the Upanishads and I am more advanced than you. So, Srila Prabhupada says, no. He says, this Bhagavad Gita is nothing but an Upanishad in the Puranic style. Within the Itihasa is there, this Bhagavad Gita is there. So, this very one line has practically established greatness or the position of Bhagavad Gita among all the Vedic literatures. There are many organizations, many sects who say that Bhagavad Gita is just for beginners. When you study Bhagavad Gita, when you understand it, then you have to throw it out. Then you can go to another book called Kena Upanishad, Katha Upanishad. When you come to Shvetashvara Upanishad, then you will get the ultimate understanding. All these things they say. But no, this Bhagavad Gita is Upanishad. So that is why Bhagavad Gita is also called Gita Upanishad. This is the first point Srila Prabhupada says. Now, then he starts writing an incident. He says that, oh, once American lady came to me. If you read the introduction, all these points would come. And asked, why are you writing a commentary on Bhagavad Gita? Then Srila Prabhupada says that all the other commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, so many people have written many commentaries. But I have to write this Bhagavad Gita as it is because none of them have actually understood the real essence of Bhagavad Gita. Everybody wanted to comment on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita by that Ananda, by this Bapu, by that, but that person. But Bhagavad Gita by Krishna was forgotten. What happened to Bhagavad Gita by Krishna? Because they wanted Bhagavad Gita, but they did not want Krishna. That was their problem. So, very first paragraph itself, Srila Prabhupada points out that the main essence of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, that was forgotten. And he quotes that Sripada Ramanujacharya, Nimbarka Acharya, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them, even Sripada Shankaracharya, accepted that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, this is one proof he gives. And then he says, in the Bhagavad Gita itself, if you see every page of Bhagavad Gita, wherever Krishna spoke, what is it written? Sri Bhagavan Vacha. It is not just Bhagavan Vacha. It is Sri Bhagavan Vacha. So, Bhagavad Gita itself says that Bhagavan Vacha. Who spoke Bhagavad Gita? Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. So, who is this Bhagavan? So, everybody who commented on Bhagavad Gita, they forgot Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they did not want Krishna, they wanted the words of Krishna. To such an extent, Srila Prabhupada goes to such an extent writing that people wanted to make use of Krishna's words. They wanted to just make use of Krishna's words and then they wanted to make a profit or make a business out of Krishna's words. Bhagavad Gita. So this is the second point Srila Prabhupada writes. That is, Bhagavad Gita is the essence, is Itu Gita Upanishad. And second thing is, you cannot understand Bhagavad Gita without Krishna. So you have to accept Krishna and then understand Bhagavad Gita. To such an extent, one point in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada writes that at least theoretically accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and then study Bhagavad Gita. Like in mathematics, you have this thing. Let x equal to this. Why? Without that, you cannot further go in your equation, in your calculation. You just cannot go further in your calculation without assuming x equal to this. And then you will understand your assumption is correct. If assumption is correct, then it is completely perfect. So first you should understand that Krishna is Supreme Personality of God and then read the Bhagavad Gita. So it so happened that when I was reading Bhagavad Gita, I just started with the whole first verse because there is an enthusiasm. Oh, what is there in the first verse? First verse, right? Second verse goes on. Within 1 week, whole Bhagavad Gita is over, but nothing understood. Why? So then I read the introduction there, Srila Prabhupada writes, theoretically, at least theoretically understand or accept Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then going on further, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, okay, we have spoken so much on Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is the thing, but the point is, why we have to accept Bhagavad Gita? What is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita? Then Srila Prabhupada writes, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to deliver people from the science. Everybody is in this world is in ignorance. And because of this ignorance, they are all suffering from anxiety. And because of this anxiety, people are continuing repeated birth and death. They are thinking of bad thing, I want this, so many things, but they have completely lost the whole goal of life and they don't know the two important things, the goal of life and the cause of suffering. What is the goal of life and what is the cause of suffering? They don't know the answers to these questions. And Bhagavad Gita gives the answer to these two questions, the goal of life and the cause of suffering. In this way, Srila Prabhupada goes on with the introduction. And further he goes on that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he has spoken, after he spoke the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the 10th chapter, Arjuna himself accepted Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if suppose somebody wants to understand Bhagavad Gita, one should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna and accept Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his friend and devotee. Until unless one becomes a friend and devotee of Krishna, he cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. So, one should become a friend and a devotee of Krishna. So, going on further, Srila Prabhupada in the introduction, he mentions one very important point, that is death. Everybody has to die. This is the reality. So, how to face this death? And he quotes those verses in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna mentions that at the time of death, one has to think of Krishna. One can only think of Krishna when he has practiced thinking of Krishna. So this Bhagavad Gita helps you to think of Krishna, to practice in Krishna consciousness throughout your life, so that you can face this ultimate reality called death. So whole subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, right from the beginning of the introduction to the end of the introduction, Srila Prabhupada covers everything. And then he writes the real essence of Bhagavad Gita. That is, manmanaha mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam eva isi satyam te pratijane priyosame. So the introduction to Bhagavad Gita is so wonderful. So the whole of next week, till the time we come to the next week program, where we are going to start with the first chapter, one request is that you all have this copy of Bhagavad Gita with you. Open the introduction and just read them. As many times as possible, just go on reading them. You will find certain points which are spoken now in the introduction. So if you sincerely study this introduction within this whole week, practically the homework for this whole week, next week, coming week, will be that you will be studying the introduction to Bhagavad Gita as many times as possible. At least one time you should study. You will find so many wonderful points in that. Of course, when you come for the next time, when you have a student workbook, you will have different questions from that. Some of the reason we are not able to give you that workbook today itself, otherwise you would have worked over it. But still we will not stop the work just because we don't have the workbook. So, but still we continue that work. That is, study the introduction very thoroughly, very sincerely. If you study it, then you will understand that how Srila Prabhupada has presented all the truths in the Bhagavad Gita in a very systematic, in a very harmonized way. So in the whole of Bhagavad Gita, there are five subject matters: Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. We have already dealt this in the Bhagavad Gita course, in the previous 7 days course. But still, these five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita are to be memorized. We just discussed it, many people are not put into memory, but we should memorize them. Ishvara means the supreme controller. Wherever you hear this word Ishvara, generally say, Ishvara matlab Ishvara hai. Ishvara means what? Ishvara means controller. Who is controlling? Everybody in this world is controlled. So, who is that person who is controlling? That is spoken in Bhagavad Gita. First subject matter. The second subject matter is Jiva. Jiva means the living entity. Who is the person who is controlled? If somebody is controlling, there must be somebody who is controlled. Nobody just can be a controller without something being controlled. Nobody can just be an enjoyer without somebody being enjoyed. Suppose I am enjoying. I say, I am enjoying. What are you enjoying? What is the thing which is being enjoyed? So who is the person being controlled? I am the person who is being controlled. Who am I? I am the living entity, the soul. And the soul is being controlled by Krishna through the modes of material nature. So Krishna is controlling the modes of material nature or the Prakriti, and Prakriti, through Prakriti, Krishna is controlling the living entity. So in this way, Krishna is not the direct controller. He doesn't control you very directly. He controls you through the modes of material nature. That is why everybody, Moitam Navidhanati, everybody is completely bewildered and controlled. Nai kshanam jadatnishchat yakarma prakritari avashak karma sarva karma prakriti gunihi avasha. Krishna uses this word in the third chapter. He says avasha. Avasha means what? Completely helpless. Helpless situation. What is a helpless situation? Everybody is controlled by the modes. How do you say I am controlled? How can you understand that you are controlled? You want to sit nicely and study, open the book and you are willing to study, you fall asleep. That means you want to study, but something is not allowing you to study. What is that thing? Something which is controlling. Who is that? What is the thing which is controlling? That is the modes of material nature. Sattva, rajas, tama. They are controlling you. Many times you go and see, you repent, I shouldn't have spoken like it. I shouldn't have become angry. But why did you become angry? You did not want to become angry, but what is the thing which forced you to become angry? There is something which is there within you cooking. It is a very subtle controller. At that position you will be thinking, I am the controller, but somebody is controlling you. Like the managing director of a company. He is working very hard, he is controlling 1,000 people working under him. But ultimately there is a this managing director is IIT, IIM. He has passed out of IIT and he has cleared IIM. He is the managing director. And he is getting 15 lakh rupees a year. That was his salary. And his managing director is so pumped up. I think I am controlling everything. But ultimately, this fool is being controlled by money. There is another person who is the Malik. And he is only third class plus. And he is eating paan and counting the money. This managing director is making the money for him. So he is working so hard and foolishly is thinking I am the controller, but and without understanding that he is controlled. He is controlled by what? He is controlled by greed. Greed means mode of ignorance. This mode of ignorance is controlling him. That is why he is controlling what? Thinking that I am controlling 10,000 people or 1,000 people. And he is being fooled by the modes of material nature. So that is why the third thing is Prakriti. First is Ishwara, the knowledge of Ishwara, the knowledge of God. Who is being controlled? The living entity is being controlled. And God is controlling the living entity or us through what? The material nature. The material nature is controlling. So the knowledge of material nature is also given in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. You find the 14th chapter. Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamoguna. And then there is a fourth aspect which has been spoken in Bhagavad Gita, that is karma. So when you are controlled, you are doing some activity that is called karma. And another one is kala. So this kala and karma actually go together because by the influence of time, some activities are performed. By the influence of modes of material nature, some activities are performed. So these activities are called karma. So this time is also an aspect which is spoken in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada in the introduction, he talks about these five subject matters in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, after reading the introduction, we have some idea of what is going on in this book, in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. So this becomes a very nice foundation for understanding the further chapters of Bhagavad Gita. That is chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, like that. So in each of the chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are some sections. Like those of you at the notes, if you see chapter 1, introduction, preparation for the war. First 13 verses of Bhagavad Gita, they talk about the preparation for the war. How the war was prepared, you know, how the phalanx are arranged, what is happening, Duryodhana, where is Duryodhana, where is him going, what is Duryodhana doing, who is going, approaching him, and all these big things are spoken there. So from the 14th verse to the 20th verse, who is going to win the war? All the signs are mentioned. So there will be certain things there. And Krishna as Bhakta Vatsala is being spoken in 21st to 27th verse. So each day we will be speaking one chapter. You will be thinking, oh, one chapter is so, it's too much for one day. But we will be presenting in such a way that even if you just close your eyes, you will be having an idea of what is the first chapter all about. This is called overview. And there are certain points within the Bhagavad Gita which will be taught to you in the course, which even if somebody just wakes you up in the midnight, hey, wake up, and then ask, what are the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita? You should be able to tell those things. So you take this course very seriously. And then you will understand how important it is for us to study these books in a very scrutinizing way. So I didn't want to give a huge lecture just today because most of you do not have the books. What you're supposed to bring is the two books. One is the student handbook and the student workbook filled up. Bhagavad Gita by Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and your own notes. Even if you don't bring your own notes, we have given enough space for you to write down your own notes. You can use this. Or you can bring your own copy, your own book, so that you can note down the points, etc. Now, coming back to the course, definitely there will be exams. Three exams will be there after every six chapters. Why after every six chapters? Because Sripad Yamunacharya, the spiritual master of Ramanujacharya, he divided this 18 chapters into three sections. The first six chapters, the second six chapters, the third six chapters. It is called the hex head. Hex means hexagonal, six things. The first six chapters consists of karma yoga, karma mishra bhakti. The middle six chapters, they are called, they consist of pure devotional service or shuddha bhakti. And the last six chapters, they consist of or jnana mishra bhakti, or jnana yoga is being spoken there. So this is just for your information that these three sections are there within Bhagavad Gita. These three sections are there because even though these three sections are there, the middle section of Bhagavad Gita, that is the Bhakti Yoga, that is most important. Because like you eat bread and butter. Where is the butter? The butter is in between the bread. So what is the thing which gives taste to the bread is the butter. You can just eat butter. But the point is, when you eat bread and butter together, it is very nice. So these two six chapters, the first six chapters and the last six chapters, they are like the bread. And the middle six chapters, they are like the butter. So, this Bhakti Yoga is a thing which is spoken throughout Bhagavad Gita. Some people say, in the Bhagavad Gita, karma is spoken. Some people say, jnana is spoken. Some people say, that is spoken. But ultimately, in the Bhagavad Gita, what is spoken is yoga. Yoga means the process by which we connect ourselves with Krishna. That is why after reciting the whole chapter, traditionally, this thing is spoken. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishadsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Sambhakti Yoga Nama Dvadashodhyaya. So, what is this? Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishadsu. This Bhagavad Gita is in Upanishad. What is that? Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. What is spoken there? Brahma Vidya is spoken. Brahma Vidya means the knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Brahman, where it comes, Priya, the Supreme Lord. And what kind of knowledge within Brahma Vidya? Yoga Shastra. Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastra. Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. So, there are many Brahma Vidyas. Among the many kinds of Brahma Vidyas, there are some section within the Brahma Vidya called Yoga Shastra. So, this Yoga Shastra means Bhakti Shastra. Yoga Shastra and Bhakti Shastras are not different. Some people think this yoga means some gymnastics or putting your head down and legs up and doing some exercises. Or this is not yoga. This is just some bodily exercises. The real yoga is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So we will be studying what is this devotion and in these nice wonderful sequence. So exams will be there. And exams, you don't have to worry about it because the question paper will be given before. This is a different kind of examination. In the material sense, materialistic examinations are like this. They try to know what you don't know. But here, we try to know what you know. So exactly, material world is exactly opposite to the spiritual world. So materialistic examinations, how they are held, they want to test what the student doesn't know. So, isko ye nahi maloom. But we want to know what you know. That is why the question paper will be given before the examination. Question paper is out. So then, the pressure is more. If you know the question paper, then you have to get 100 out of 100. If you don't know the question paper, then there is a chance, even if you get 60%, I was not knowing the answers, you can say. But if you know the question paper and then say, I was not knowing the answers, then being foolish is not a problem, but being lazy is a big problem. So we'll be giving you the question bank beforehand. So among the question bank, there will be few questions which will be coming. So you need not be very much worried about pressure and all what I'm going to do. So take this course in a very interesting way. It's an interesting course. Yeah, it's a fun to learn. So this is the whole content. And not only that, in the last 4 or 5 sessions, this is a 24 sessions course. We are going to make few teams, that is, two people a team. So they are going to do some presentations, all of you. Nobody will be spared. Everybody will be coming and giving some presentations, charts or lecture or some drama or skit or speaking something or interactive session, something will be done. So that you will all become, you will be trained as preachers. And you will be asked to take question answers, simple things. And of course, how to do the presentations, everything will be taught to you also. Those things will be also taught to you. So there is a lot of interesting things which are coming in future, provided you take a lot of interest. So I wish you really all the best for this course, and also I request you to bless the organizers for this course to also do their services sincerely, seriously, so that they can take this Bhakti in the college at really high levels in the coming years. My idea of this college in the next, say, maybe 5 years, what VIHE or Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education or MIHE, Mayapur Institute of Higher Education, is offering, the same thing will be offered here. Because for that, you all should go there. You all should go there for maybe 1 month, take leave and go and do some course there, or 4 months do Bhakti Shastri there. So that is not possible. They are not very very much practical for people who are staying in Bombay. But Sunday is a very nice day. You can take a holiday. It's already holiday. And morning, say 10 o'clock till 1 o'clock, to spend your time here. It's not a big thing. You can spend your time nicely. You can learn. And over the years, we'll be doing Prabhupada books and Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Sadachar, and also different courses designed on Srimad Bhagavatam, and some courses on four sampradayas, like six systems of philosophy, which are already, I've taught them in two and different places, and also courses on Manas Siksha and Tattva Sandarbhas. Because in Jew, I am going to teach the Tattva Sandarbhas for 1 month. So, already we have teachers, we have enough staff. Manamali Prabhu is there, Siddharth Prabhu is there, Kundalkrishna Prabhu is there. And we have qualified staff and teachers. I am frankly telling, you don't have to be thinking that, okay, you know, there in VHE, MH, they are very nice, good teachers, so we will do there. But my observation, I am telling you frankly, that Sri Radhakrishna temple have got enough teachers and also potential teachers who can do the same courses at the same level of perfection. Even in this temple, we have people. They are not come up, but Bhakti in the college will definitely bring them up to be good teachers, good preachers of Krishna consciousness. So this is our view. And, thank you very much for cooperating this registration for this course. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments, please? This thing will not be like a lecture and all. It will be more interactive. It can be free like a classroom. It's just like a classroom. Only thing is, we're just waiting for the four classrooms to come up. Looks like Bhakti and all expects to be very big and all, but classrooms are going to come up in 6 months. So any questions, any comments? Next time we'll be asking you all to introduce yourself, so that many of you know each other, but still there are some new people who will be coming, they'll be introducing, and we're going to do that. Okay. Anything? So I've given you this thing. 12th is today, 19th and 26th. 26th, by 26th, finalized list should be there. Registration should be finalized, everything should be finalized. And decide which course you want to attend, the Hindi one or the English one. Right? Those who are comfortable in Hindi, they should attend Hindi. Those who are comfortable in English, they should attend in English. This is what is the request. So, yeah. That shloka, I don't remember it by heart. I'll just give you the printout, I can give you the next by next week or something. Just ask me, I'll give you the printout. First one is this. The second one is also similar shloka, but wordings are different. So any more input you would like to give? Yes.
Divine
See, Kala is the, what is the difference between material nature and Kala? How does Krishna control? Krishna controls the living entity through the modes of material nature. But the modes of material nature can only act when there is time. The time is the energy for the modes of material nature to act. Like you control the car by the steering. So the steering you are driving, but the point is there is a whole connecting rod, and there is a, these days in the vehicles you get a power drive. You just have to do like this and you car will drive. You don't have to do the whole thing. So this in the power drive, you have to have the steering. At the same time there is a motor which accelerates your steering. So this time is like that, which gives energy to the modes of material nature for you to function. So the real controller is the modes of material nature. This time is just the energy, the fuel for it. They cannot act. Modes of material nature cannot act without Kala. So
you are telling Krishna is not controlling.
Yes. Yeah, Krishna is ultimate controller. Krishna is ultimately, he is the controller. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suvete sa chara charam. So this verse is there. So chara and achara are controlled by prakriti. And who is controlling the prakriti? Krishna. So under his superintendence, the living entities are being controlled. Avasha karma, sarva karma, prakriti er gunaihi. That's verse. What's the material? That's it. Yes. See, para means, whenever you hear this word para, para means you should understand pare. In Hindi you use this word pare. Pare means what? Beyond. Above. Above what? Above modes of material nature. Above the modes, below the modes. We don't use this word. Apara means not below the modes, within the modes. Apara means within, para means above. So, the living entity is para prakriti, but now what is the situation? It is entangled with apara prakriti. Apara means this material energy, sattva rajastama. So whenever you hear this word para, para means transcendental. Transcendental to what? Beyond what? Beyond the modes of material nature. Or prakriti ke teen gun, three modes of material nature. So para means above three modes, apara means within the three modes, are entangled, controlled. Apara means controlled by modes, para means not controlled by modes, beyond the modes. That's it. Okay, so thank you very much. So see you next time. Before we leave, we want somebody who is very good, he is having a very good handwriting in Hindi. Anybody here and there who can write in Hindi? Very, they can write with a black pen as if it should look as if it is typed. Somebody who's got such a good handwriting, please meet Ramakant Prabhu. So let me introduce our college staff here. So we have Ramakant Prabhu is our, he's not here, no, stand up, he's here. He is the manager of the college. And he is the only person who has done the Bhakti Shastri, the first Bhakti Shastri from Mira Road Temple. So even I have not done my Bhakti Shastri, but I have started the college. So he is the manager of the college. And we have, where is Bhavana Mandi? Okay. So she is going to be Kamlesh Prabhu's wife. She is going to be our secretary for the college, managing the whole funds, registrations and all these things that will be there. And Krishnanandan Prabhu, he is our design and layout. He is going to take care of all the logistics, the computers and all this stuff. Going to do that. present they are the managerial staff of our college. And the teaching staff appointed Pundal Krishna Prabhu, who just now I spoke Hindi. And we have Sita Mohan Prabhu, he's not here. Okay. And we have Venu Krishna Prabhu. So, and we have Annamalai Prabhu also, he's not here present. So the courses do come in future, we're going to appoint these things. So many of them. And we have appointed many assistant teachers also that we are declaring in a small kind of brochure or letter kind of thing will be circulated to you. That's the whole thing. And those of you who would like to volunteer for some services for this college are very much welcome. Please give your names to Ramakant. Any kind of services you would like to offer to this college, because this college is not going to be restricted to Mira Road campus itself, it's going to expand. We are going to start the same course in Bandra. On 8th of April is going to start. We are going to start this in May in Goregaon. Like that, this college will be expanding. So it's a new department which is being opened. So please cooperate with this by all your encouragement and enthusiasm in your lessons. Hare Krishna. Everybody remembers what is the homework for the week? Reading the introduction of Bhagavad Gita as many times as possible. Hare Krishna.